fortunate for them that I'm not so much into soccer. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the coherence with subspaces and the limitations on this. We have recently done some work on that you actually need to achieve the Dickey limit in order to get a decoherence-free subspace under very general conditions. And what I mean with this will be clear in a second. This is work which was jointly done with Reza Karasik, who is a student, PhD student at the University of California at Berkeley under the supervision of Birgit Awaley. And the director of our institute, Barry Sanders, is also involved. First of all, I want to talk to you about the motivation, why decoherence-free subspaces are at all interesting. Then I want to draw a connection between spontaneous emission cancellation and dark states and decoherence-free subspaces, which makes it physically intuitive to think about these states. Then I will, of course, present the general, some general remarks about DFS and show you our theorem. Yeah, why are DFS interesting? In quantum information processing, you need to have extremely well isolated systems in qubits. And in order to achieve this, one either has to do error, quantum error correction, or one can try to avoid the influence of the environment in the first place. And DFS, decoherence-free subspaces, consist out of states which are not coupled to the environment by means of destructive interference. They were first introduced by a number of researchers, Zhuang and Guo, and Zanardi and Rossetti, and also Lida Zhuang and our co-author Whaley in the late 90s. And they could be used as just a kind of alternative or an addition to quantum error correction. And DFS are, in particular, if you have a superposition which is not coupled to the environment. And there's a simple example of how this can be achieved. If you consider this V system here, it's called V system because you have a V-shaped energy level diagram. And this system is coupled by some external field, let's say a laser. The two excited states are coupled to a common ground state. And these amplitudes are just some complex numbers, which are, in quantum optics, the complex amplitude of the electric field. And now one can show that this state, this particular superposition of two excited states, is not coupled to the ground state. So it will not decay. And this can be easily understood. If you write down the Hamiltonian for this system, then it looks like this. And we can combine the action, connection, sorry, that should be a G, of the ground state to the two excited states. And then we can see that this state here, this dark state, is actually orthogonal to this state which appears in the Hamiltonian, which means it is not coupled. And that means that this particular superposition of excited state will not decay to the common ground state. It will not decay by emitting a photon in this particular mode. So the superposition here of two laser modes is again one mode. For instance, if that's sigma plus light, that's sigma minus, the combination, the superposition is just linearly polarized light. And this is fairly similar to dark states in a ground states, which are the basis for ERT and slow light and have been drawn much attention lately. But in order to be immune against decoherence, this dark state is not enough because it's only immune against emission into this particular photon mode. We need to have a state which is actually immune against spontaneous emission into any laser mode, which cannot emit any photon mode. And this can be achieved. It is only possible if the two transition matrix elements from here and here are exactly equal. And in this case, this dark state is indeed a stable state, and it does not decay. However, there's a catch. If you look at atoms, then the state, then this condition cannot be fulfilled, simply by because of selection rules for angular momentum eigenstates. So it seems that molecules are necessary, but this is not really true. because one can also simply combine the effect of two different quantum systems. For instance, if you look at two-level systems here and just write down their common energy basis, then we have a common ground state, EG. Then we can have one atom excited, the other one in the ground state, EG, or the other way around. And then we have a V system, which obviously has two equal dipole matrix elements here. And this is the original idea, I would say, behind decoherence-free subspaces. It's very similar to spontaneous emission cancellation, only that you use a system which consists out of more than one particle in order to get this destructive interference between two transition amplitudes. Yeah, and that's only the simplest case of all. Of course, this can be generalized to systems with n internal levels. And typically, it's described with a more complicated theory like Lie groups, Dickey states, and master equations, and so. But the basic idea is always the same, that you have destructive interference in order to avoid spontaneous emission. A little bit of thinking immediately makes clear that this idealized theory can actually not is too nice to be true. If you imagine that one of the two-level atoms is on Earth and the other one on Moon, then certainly spontaneous emission can happen before the other two-level system will take notice of it at all. So there is certainly some length scale for which decoherence-free subspaces are not possible anymore. And we have proven that under very general conditions, this length scale is actually zero, which means that true DFS, a superposition of states which does not decay at all, is only possible in the Dickey limit, which means that the two-level systems or n-level systems have to be co-located. And the main assumptions behind this theorem are as follows. So one very important assumption is, of course, the structure of the system. We just assume that we have an n-dimensional internal Hilbert space and that the, that the particles are located at fixed point in space. If we relax the latter condition, we actually make things worse. So if you admit center of mass motion, then the hope to get a decoherence-free state actually fades away. So this is more or less necessary to talk about such a system at all. Then we consider a Markovian reservoir so that we can employ the master equation. We assume, for technical reasons, that the reservoir is invariant under translations and that energy is exchanged in the system-reservoir interaction. This includes effects like spontaneous emission, but excludes pure dephasing effects because there's no energy exchange in these situations. Yeah, some details about this theorem. The interaction Hamiltonian is, takes a very general form. It's just the sum over arbitrarily many reservoir operators multiplied as a system operator. And these reservoir operators are taken at the position xn of the particles. And yeah, this more or less covers almost all systems of interest. Now, I mentioned that we need translational invariance, and this is necessary to employ the Lehmann representation of these reservoir operators, which is known in quantum field theory. It basically states that if you want to shift an operator, then you can do this with the translation operator here, which is usually just the total momentum operator of your reservoir. The Markovian master equation then takes the form, the usual form, Lindblad form. And if you write it in terms of jump terms, some Hamiltonian term, then we can sum all terms which are to the left, Hermitian terms which are to the left of the density matrix. And this comprises our decoherence matrix. And this decoherence matrix describes how fast your system decays. It contains all the information about decay rates. And it is this decoherence matrix which we want to consider. Energy conservation is needed because otherwise the master equation can become inconsistent. Typically what can happen is that if you do not have energy conservation, then you can, let's say, excite one particle and de-excite another one, but spending much less energy. And then you miraculously and actually by wrong theory, so to speak, gain or lose energy in your system. So you don't want this to happen. And this can be done by, can be eliminated by requiring energy conservation. And then one does a lot of lengthy calculations for this n-level system, for this combination of n-level systems. And after all these calculations, one finds that this decoherence matrix generally takes this form, where you sum over all energies, internal energy differences. Then you have operators here which excite or de-excite your individual particles, and thereby can exchange kind of photons or any other modes in your reservoirs. The reservoir is completely general. Then we have these phase vectors, and they are the consequence of the Lehmann representation. So in order to get these phase vectors, we needed it. And we have an integral over the direction of the momenta of all the modes in the reservoir. And this integral is actually quite important for formal reasons, because our proof exploits now that if we want to have a DFS, a decoherence free subspace, then this corresponds to an eigenstate of the matrix gamma, of this operator gamma, with eigenvalue zero. Now we can only obtain this if the state is annihilated for all these expressions for all different unit vectors k, for all directions of your reservoir momenta. And it's relatively intuitively clear, I think, that if you achieve this for one, and you have another for one direction, and you have another direction k, then the corresponding state will not be an eigenstate of eigenvalue zero anymore. So you can't achieve it in general, and you can prove that using Gram matrix methods. And the only way to exclude this is to co-locate two particles. So if xn is equal to xm, you get rid of this phase factor, and then the problem is gone. So only if the particles are co-located, you will achieve that combination of linear combination of states with two particles will be stable against spontaneous decay. Yeah, this result is actually quite important because it helps not only to understand DFS better, but it also rules out situations where people could try to realize DFS. So there have been some experimental realizations of decoherence-free subspaces, but they typically really are working in the decay limit. So the ions, for instance, are very close to each other as compared to the fluctuations of the fields. So for instance, magnetic field fluctuations or so are much larger. And this proof actually shows that when you want to search for decoherence-free subspaces, then you either should do that in a single particle, like a molecule or so. For instance, in spontaneous emission cancellation, there have been even some experimental attempts to find spontaneous emission cancellation. However, they have been questions later on. And the other possibility is actually to go to lower dimensional systems, because we needed this integral in order to rule out a decoherence-free subspace space outside of the decay limit. But if you go to a lower dimensional reservoir, let's say a 1D reservoir, then this integral disappears and the problem is gone. That means if you go to a confined system, then you will see, for instance, like in a waveguide or a hollow core optical fiber or so, then you can see that you can achieve decoherence-free subspaces even when the particles are not co-located. And this is ongoing work, which we are now actively investigating. And we hope that we can, soon, maybe next year or so, or end of this year, propose some systems which have a potential to show DFS. I guess I'm a bit fast. So in conclusion, I hope I have shown you that decoherence-free subspaces are a tool to suppress decoherence in quantum systems, and that's really important for quantum information and quantum communication in general. Decoherence-free subspaces seem to exist only in the decay limit for ordinary 3D reservoirs like they are naturally realized in our world. But if you confine your system to a single particle, or if you go to waveguides, also to one dimensional systems, you have, can actually hope to realize a DFS outside of the decay limit. Thank you for your attention.